Good morning, Noble Assembly of God. How are you this morning? Good, all right. Pastor feels good. The rest of you I'm not sure about. Won't you stand with us as we go to the Lord and praise and worship?
Let's just welcome the presence of God. I believe he's already here. Amen. Let's just worship him and agree together and just ask him to be with us this morning. God, Lord, we thank you, Lord. Lord, that you are the author and perfecter of our faith, God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that our name can be written down in glory. God, we want to give you praise. We want to give you honor, God. We want to lift you up this morning. God, we want to sing your praises and give you the glory you deserve, Father. Lord, I pray that you would be with us this morning. God, meet every need, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house, God. And we love you and we praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
God, the earth, the moon, the sun, the stars, the oceans, the mountains, the trees that grow beside the waters, the animals that come to the stream to drink. It's all your work. You have created it. You gave us the sun, which marks the days, and the moon that marks the months. It all fits together like the workings of a clock. Then you gave us the ability to care for it all. You gave us the chance to care for each other. There is so much work to do, God. Help us to remember we do the work for you. If we cook, let us cook as though your son will be a guest at the table. If we paint, let us paint as though the picture will hang in your house. If we clean, let us clean as if your angels are coming to our home to dance. We will keep you in mind, God, in all things, in all we do. When we labor and when we rest, you created and you took a break. We will take this day and stop. We will breathe. We will appreciate the gifts you have given us. Our hands, our feet, our minds, our hearts. We will look around and see our lives as a gift. We will be grateful for the jobs we have. We will pray for those who cannot find work. We will reach out a hand to help those who cannot help themselves. We will be grateful for this day, this moment set aside to say thank you to the one who began a good work and continues that work in us. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for being here with us this Labor Day weekend. I tell you what, it changes your perspective when you're doing something as unto the Lord. Amen. No matter what you're doing, some things just aren't very fun to do, but when we can do it and serve the Lord doing it, it makes a big difference. We would like to welcome you. If this is your first time here, we want to say thank you for being here and worshiping with us this weekend. We want to let you know that we are glad that you're here. And if you would do us a favor, you can find a card there in front of you in the seat. If you would fill that out and just get it either to the Welcome Center or to the offering back here in a little bit. We'd just like to have record of your attendance this morning. And let's give our guests a hand this morning.
Amen.
Seems like we always have a lot going on around Noble Assembly of God, and so we want to encourage you, if you did not get a bulletin, make sure you grab one. I do want to hit a few things. We've got a lot of stuff coming up in the next few weeks. We do want to encourage you, if you would like to be a part of our fasting that's going on this month, there is a calendar out there. You can find a day that I believe most of the days are filled, but if you would like to sign up and fast, you can go ahead and do that. And it's an exciting time. Connect Group starts next week. Can you believe that? Finally getting a chance. Yes. Amen. Amen. How many of you miss Connect Groups? How many of you just miss being with people? I mean, it's nice to come to church to be around people. We have a lot of different opportunities. I believe we have 6 adult groups and then 1 for the children. And you have options. There's a few that are just going to be rotating, going around to different restaurants and different places. So if you're more comfortable doing that, instead of going to somebody's house, we've got a little bit, got an option for just about everybody. So check out the table on the way out. Make sure you get signed up next week. We will introduce the people leading those groups, so you'll have a face to go with that if you don't know who you're signing up for. But we want to encourage you to be a part of a Connect group. Get plugged in, and it's just good to fellowship and spend time with other believers. Amen. Amen. Also, next weekend, our women's ministry conference is going on. So if you've got any questions, hopefully you've already signed up for that. But if you need some more info, see Miss Kelly. Well, make sure you see Miss Kelly if you're not signed up. But should be there, should be good. I believe you'll be leaving out on Friday midday. So check that, get the more information from her. Also, we are going to be having a work day here in 2 weeks from yesterday. We've got lots of just small projects of maintenance things here around the church, kind of keeping the house of God, you know, where it needs to be. And so we've got things for every skill level. So if you can paint things, if you can clean things, if you can just be an encourager, or I'm looking at Lance, he can just boss people around a little bit. So we're going to start out. It's not just limited to men. Anybody that wants to come, we'll be having biscuits and gravy starting at 8 o'clock, and then we'll break off into do nothing too laborious, and should be a good time to just take care of the house of the Lord. Also, our fall missions convention is coming up. So once you be praying about that, be praying for our missionaries around the world. There's, you know, just with what we're going on here in the United States, just, you know, there's a lot of, you know, with COVID and everything else, just remember our missionaries. Remember the work that they're doing. Be praying for them and be looking forward to a missions convention coming up. I believe that's all. Let me make sure that I didn't miss anything important. I'm sure there's a lot more important in there. But read your bulletin and you'll be up to date. And at this time, I'm going to ask our ushers to come and we're going to receive this morning's tithes and offering. Amen. How many of you the Lord has blessed you? Amen. How many of you the Lord has blessed you more than you could ever explain. Amen. Amen. Just the fact that we were talking this morning, Darren Whitmire has been teaching the high school Sunday school class, and you know, the lesson this morning was just talking about sometimes we go through rough times, but the good thing is God is always with us, and His blessings always outweigh life. You know, the things we go through and the things we struggle with. But let's just be grateful and cheerful in our giving this morning, and then we're going to go right back into worship as the ushers come by. Lord, we thank you, God, for this morning, God. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for your blessing, God. We thank you most of all for your grace and mercy in our lives, God. Lord, we ask you to bless this offering, God. Bless the giver, and we'll just give you the praise and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
So stand back up after the offering plate goes by and join us in worship.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. The name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Your heart and lead me in your life. Psalm 66:10 says, "For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver." And if you think about what a refiner does, it takes the metal and it puts it in the hottest part of the fire, and it burns away the impurities. And the impurities come to the top, and they sweep the impurities off. And they know when the silver is done when they can see the reflection in it. And God is our refiner. And as we've been going through all these things in the United States, and you look at what's happening into our country, in our country, and I must say there's a lot of times I just sit there and go, I don't get it. I can't understand why this is happening. I just feel this calling to get closer to God, to be refined by Him, so that we can be drawn into Him and drawn into His fire, and He can pull away all the impurities, all the things in my life that maybe I'm not aware of. He can burn it off. And when He's done, all you see is Jesus. And that's what we need, is that when people look at us, they see Jesus. So that they'll feel His love and feel drawn to Him through our words and our actions. And if that's your desire today, I just pray that you would just sing this song with us and pray and lift His name and just tell Him, "I want to be refined by You, Father."
If the altar's where You meet us, take me there, take me there. What You need is just an offering. I'm right here, my life is here, and I'll be a living sacrifice for You. You're a fire, the refiner. I wanna be consumed. I wanna be tried by purified. You take whatever You desire. Lord, here's my life. I want to be tried by fire. Purified. You take whatever You desire. Lord, here's my life.
If Your glory wants to come here, let it fall. We want it all. Your fire is consuming. Fill this place, set it ablaze, and I'll be a living sacrifice for You. You're a fire, the refiner. I want to be consumed. I want to be tried by fire. Purified. You take whatever here's my life. I wanna be tried by fire. Purified. You take whatever You desire. Lord, here's my life. I wanna be tried by fire. Purified. You take whatever You desire. Lord, here's my life. I want to be tried by fire. Purified. You take whatever You desire. Lord, here's my life.
Here's a life, Lord. I want to be a living sacrifice. Thank You, Jesus. So clean my hands, purify my heart. I want to burn for You, only for You. So take my life as a sacrifice. I want to burn for You, only for You. Jesus, clean my hands, purify. I wanna burn. as a sacrifice. I want to burn for you, only for you.
I want to be tried by fire, purified. You take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. I want to be tried by fire, purified. You take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life.
Lord Jesus, we just come into your presence this morning with the desire to be purified by you. Father, the times ahead look like it might be difficult, and we really, really need you. We are desperate for you in our nation. We're desperate for a move of your presence and your spirit, Father Lord. And we just cry out as a church, start it here, start it in Noble Assembly of God, start it in my life and in my heart and in my family, Lord Jesus. Just start a fire here. We just cry out for you. We want to be a living sacrifice. For we want to win this race. We want to run it and win it. We want to spend eternity with you someday. We just call upon you today, Father, Lord, to just let your spirit fall like never before, like the day of Pentecost, Lord. Let your spirit fall on this church and on this nation, a fire that is so hot that it cannot be put out, that against any form of satanic foothold that we have, Father, Lord, that you will prevail. Father, we believe that you are almighty and all-powerful, and that Satan does not have control in this country, that you do, and that wherever your word goes, Father, Lord, that you will go before us, and you will fight that fight. And we just pray, Father, Lord, that you would just move. Just move, Father. We need you so desperately in this world, not just in the United States, but in the entire world. We just cry out for you, Father, Lord, and we just believe in faith that we're going to receive that fire in this nation that goes from shore to shore, from border to border, that can't be contained, and that will spread across this whole world. We just believe it, Father, Lord, and we just thank you. We praise you, for you are mighty and you are awesome. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and you are above all principalities, Father, Lord. You will take care of every situation, and we just place it all in your hands, for we know that you are there for us and that you go before us and that you're going to take care of this, Father, Lord, and we just praise you, Father, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Father, Lord. In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. So I yield to you and to your careful hands. And I trust you, I don't need to understand. So make me your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Thank you, Jesus. In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender,
You are breaking new ground. You are breaking new ground. So make me your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. God, I came here with nothing, but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine now to me. Jesus, bring new. All you have given me, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. So make me your vessel, make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be. God, I came here with nothing, but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me.
I love that. It says, make me a vessel. Make me whatever you want me to be. That's what the Lord really asked of us, that we would be what he's called us to be. How many of you know he hadn't called each of us to do the same thing? But he called us to be ready. Be ready for whatever opportunity, whatever we may encounter. And this morning I challenge you to just be a vessel of prayer. And I want to bring to you a few prayer requests this morning, and I want you to pray for my voice. Been a little sick this week, but I want to also, Kathleen Quinn was in the ER today. She tore her Achilles tendon, and so I want to pray for healing there in her foot. We had a family here in our local community that had a tragedy this weekend and lost a little one-year-old little girl. And so we want to pray for that family in the midst of this tragic accident. I want to pray for healing of their hearts, encouragement, peace, hope. And most of all, they would just feel Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to pray for our missionaries. I want to pray for our nation. I also want to pray for any needs that's present today. So if you just have a need, would you just raise your hand and say, you know what? The Lord knows my need. The Lord knows my need. Amen. Amen. Lord, we just come to you this morning and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you use us. Use us, sinful, flawed individuals, to further your plan. Lord, you use us to spread the gospel. You use us as we speak and encourage and we speak into other people's lives. Lord, you use us as we use our voices to pray. Lord, as we use our voices to praise. Lord, you use us in so many different ways, and we thank you for that. This morning, we pray for Kathleen Quinn. We pray for this Achilles tendon, Lord, that you would bring healing to that. Lord, we pray for this family who's lost a little one-year-old little girl. Lord, and in these moments of darkness, in these moments of struggle, in these moments of anguish and sadness, we pray, Lord, that you would just bring the peace of the Holy Spirit into every room that they're in and every conversation that they have. And Lord, I pray that they would feel you in a tangible way today. Lord, I pray you would reach down and you would minister to that family today. Lord, I pray for every hand that was raised this morning. Lord, we just agree together. Lord, your word says where two or more are gathered in your name, there you are also. And so we believe today you're in this place. And Lord, we're praying for every need represented by every hand, spoken or unspoken. Lord, you are the answer. And so we pray, Lord, that you would provide healing for those who need healing. You provide hope for those who need hope. That you provide an answer for those who just simply need an answer today. Most of all, may we keep our eyes upon you. May we keep our faith strong. And may, Lord, we give you all we have today as we worship you. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning in the house of the Lord. Amen, 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 amen. We probably noticed by now that Pastor is not here. He is in Enid, Oklahoma. The secretary that has been there for 35, 40 years, something like that, is retiring, and they are doing a celebration today during the service. And so they're having a lot of the former staff. That's where Pastor was on staff before he came here, up there today. And so about 4 weeks ago, he asked me if I would fill in and preach. And then starting Monday or Tuesday this week, I started having trouble with my throat, and thought I could overcome it, and now I am on antibiotics, so you won't get anything from me, all right? So all of you that were thinking, oh man, Pastor Phil talked to me today, he got close to me, I'm good, I don't have any more cooties than I usually have, which is still a lot, but you guys probably have built up antibodies by now. So anyway, I feel good, but I sound terrible. And so I have handed this off graciously today to our children's pastor. Pastor Chad is going to come and challenge us with a message today. And then do not leave at the end, because at the very end we're going to do communion, all right? So I want to make sure that we take communion together. And so I'll be back up here to lead us in that. But right now, would you put your hands together and let's encourage Pastor Chad as he comes to speak to us today.
Well, you know it's 2020 when they let the children's pastor preach on Sunday morning. Things have gotten bad up here. I think Pastor Phil's still a little nervous that I'm going to go off notes. You know how, like, at graduation, the valedictorian has to, like, turn in their notes to the principal beforehand, make sure they don't say anything crazy? Pastor Phil was grilling me about what I was speaking about this morning. I tend to be a little bit more controversial in the topics I discuss on Sunday nights, but I think you're all going to walk out of here still happy with me today. For those of you who don't know me, I am Pastor Chad. Thank you for the introduction, Pastor Phil. But if we haven't met before, please come meet me, because I have sign-up forms to volunteer in Kids Church. It is now officially your turn. It's a joke, but also, I do have forms. Well, today we're going to talk about some things that are dear to my heart. And that's God's word. I think God's word and his commandments are super important. And I think far too often today, we tend to rely a lot on voices from the world to influence us, and not enough from the voice of God, written down in his word and provided to us by the Holy Spirit, to guide our decisions, our thoughts, our actions. And I think that our kids have it the worst. Our kids live in an age where they're constantly processing information and media. Somebody's always trying to get in their face. In fact, I saw a complaint the other day. Somebody was complaining because in the new boxing video game, there's ads that pop up mid-game. So, you know, even like the video games you pay for, you're not even playing online, but now there's an ad for Gatorade or an ad for Nike in a media that, you know, formerly you wouldn't have advertisements. But anywhere your kids look, you can't really get away with them. Somebody's always trying to put something in front of them. And I think the Bible has a lot to say about how seriously we should take his word and how seriously we should take passing that message on to children. Because the reality is that your kids spend about an hour and a half with me a week, if you're here every week, and if they're here every week, which I know is sometimes not possible with the other stuff we got going on, especially with, you know, the flu and strep and COVID. I understand that you're not going to be here every week, but let's say an hour and a half a week, they're over here there in kids' church with me. Well, I'll be honest, most of your children cannot pay attention for an hour and a half straight. We got a lot of very active children in kids' church, and we run an active service. We take breaks for games. We make sure that they have time to run around and play and to make friends, because I want them to have friends at church that believe in God, that they can lean on, so that they can have peers in their faith. But the reality is that the instruction I give on Sunday, and let's say they come on Wednesday nights and they go to Rangers and Girls Ministry, or they come on Sunday mornings to Sunday school, is still just a few hours a week. Meanwhile, they spend Monday through Friday in school. Many of your children or grandchildren or nieces and nephews spend many, many hours on YouTube and Twitch and in front of the TV. And the reality is that the church, how we do church, is never going to be able to shout out the world that they're in the other 24/7 days a week. So the responsibility that for a long time in America, we kind of outsourced to pastors and outsourced to churches really isn't functional anymore. It used to be taking your children to Sunday school and taking your children to children's church and to a Wednesday night service. You could be assured that there were enough other positive influences, positive godly influences in their life, that you could be reasonably assured that your children would grow up with a decent level of what we call Bible literacy. Like, how well do you know what the Bible says? Do you know the Gospels? Do you know why you need salvation? Do you understand what the concept of original sin is? Do you understand what it means when Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because I didn't growing up. And I grew up in church. We were there early on Sunday. My dad was a deacon. He locked up every Sunday. I ran sound from the time I was 12 until I turned 18 and went to college. I was in Sunday school, and often I was the only child in my Sunday school class, so I had a teacher to myself to talk to for an hour every Sunday. I went to Rangers. I went to whatever little youth my church had. But I still grew up not knowing some fundamental concepts that are important to your understanding of your relationship with the God who made you. And I want to tell you that this is not a unique problem to 2020. It's not a unique problem to the modern age. Television did not do this to us. My mom didn't really like television. She was afraid to let me watch the Rugrats because she thought I'd turn out like Angelica. As I got older, she said she was right. Maybe. It's a true story, actually. But here's the deal. This didn't just happen because of technology. This has been happening for a long time. I want to start us out today in Psalms 119, starting in verse 10. It says, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. That's Psalms 119. Now, a lot of us know that I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And we tend to leave out the rest of that little psalm right there where it says, you know, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. Now, have you guys read the books of laws? Whew. You know what I use those for? Insomnia. I do. You can't sleep. Start reading Deuteronomy, Leviticus. The devil will help you sleep. Okay? He will. He'll put you right to bed. Don't need no Tylenol PM anymore. Okay? That's a lot. There are a lot of commands in the old law. Thankfully, a lot of them we don't have to follow anymore because Jesus released us from that obligation on the cross. But they're still important. They're still good ways to live. Kosher is a super healthy way to eat. A lot of the things that they tell you not to do in the Old Testament, we know today, are not healthy for you, right? But the psalmist is saying, I'm going to seek you with all my heart. I'm going to remember all your commands so I don't sin against you, okay? Now, this is way back when. He's making a special effort, right? This is the psalmist here. This is like David or Solomon or somebody else super wise, right? Okay, we don't know who wrote all of them, but we have a good idea. And he's making a special effort to follow after the commands of God with all his heart. And what that tells me is that was not necessarily common. That already, by the time Israel starts having kings instead of judges, that people are forgetting the commands of God. And actually, in 2 Kings 22, chapter 22, I don't have the verses for this, this is just a story. We actually learn about a king, Josiah, who has to find the book of law in the temple and has to repent and change his entire system of governance because he realizes how far Israel has strayed away from the commands of God. They'd forgotten that there was a book of law. They were doing renovations and found it in a room somewhere in the temple and brought it to him. So it doesn't take long for our beliefs, for our knowledge about God to start to fade away. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. How many of you know that Jesus later calls that the greatest commandment? Okay. It says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. That's a lot, right? You're supposed to be talking about this when you wake up, when you go to sleep, when you're walking, when you're leaving the house, when you get to the gate to leave your property, when you come back in the house. It's saying to write God's word everywhere. Make it a constant reminder to you and your family that God's word is important, that God's word is eternal and meant for all generations. Growing up, I didn't realize that Jesus was quoting another verse in the Bible when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. I didn't know that that was actually in the Old Testament. This is right after they get the Ten Commandments, by the way. Okay? I didn't know that. I thought Jesus had summed up the commandments in a new verse, but he wasn't. He was hearkening back to something that was already in the Holy Text. And you'll see Jesus does that a lot. Earlier I talked about, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, Jesus is actually referencing an entire psalm that talks about the sacrifice of God, that talks about and prophesizes what is happening as he dies on the cross. He only recites one line because he expects the people who heard it to know the rest. He expects the people that heard him say that would be able to fill in the blanks because that was common practice for the time. I struggled for many years with that, about why the Father would turn his back on the Son, because that's what I was taught. People told me that the Father couldn't look upon the sin and so turned his back on Jesus. And I knew that didn't make sense because as our sins got placed upon Jesus, he washed them away like they never happened. So it didn't make sense. But when you read it in context, you read the entire passage, it makes sense. Now, some of you might be telling me or thinking right now, well, how am I supposed to know that? I'm just a congregant, somebody who sits in the congregation. I come on Sunday. I don't have a Bible degree. Newsflash, neither do I. I didn't go to seminary. I went to OU. My degree's in European history. I got my credentials through a correspondence program run by the district. But I take the time to seek out new knowledge. I take the time to read articles written by professors at Evangel. One of my favorites is actually one of Pastor Phil's former professors, Dr. Nunnally, Wave Nunnally. He writes some great stuff that provides cultural context to famous passages, and you can find them on the AG website. It's important for you to know these things because I don't, and Pastor Phil doesn't, and your Sunday school teachers that take great care of your children will not have time to cover the entire Bible from the ages 4 to 18 in service. We just won't. We will not cover Deuteronomy 6 probably again for another 14 years. If I ever preach out of this passage again, this might be the only time. It's important for you to lead your children. I'm talking to parents, I'm talking to grandparents, I'm talking to aunts and uncles, I'm talking about to older siblings. It's important for you to talk to them about the Bible and what it teaches. And I'm going to make it harder because a lot of you, when you were children, there was not this concept of knowing the why for everything. Everything's why, right? Kids love to know why. This generation, more than anybody, doesn't just want to know the why. They want to know the how, okay? And sometimes they combine the two into how come. And it's hard sometimes because you won't always know the why and you won't always know the how. And so you might have to tell your children, I don't know. Let me go figure out why and how come and how. Let me go ask somebody. Let me go look that up. Let me go do my research. Because here's the deal. Statistically speaking, the youth in our nation are falling away from God at alarming rates. A lot of the kids you see sitting here today who are here in church on Sunday morning will not continue attending past 18. They will leave your home. They will leave the influence of Pastor Phil and Pastor Chad and Pastor Steve. And the influences of the world will come up like thorns and grab them and choke out their faith. I've seen it happen to my friends. I've seen it happen to my family. I've seen it happen to youth that we poured hundreds of hours into in this church. And I'm not blaming anybody because it can happen to anybody, no matter how good of a parent you are, no matter how good of an instructor you are. But the rate is what's alarming. The number of children who are falling away, who attend a Bible preaching church. This is a good church. We preach the word here. We preach the true word here. The full text, nothing taken out. And our youth still fall away. I preach a hard gospel. Okay, you go to some churches, they preach a soft gospel about getting wealthy. Okay, that's not what I preach when I'm up here. Being a Christian is meant to be a little bit hard. Salvation is easy, but following after Jesus is like dragging a cross by. behind you and being melted like silver, which is very hot and messy, by the way, if you ever want to watch a video. It's not supposed to be easy. God knew that it was going to be hard, that the world was going to be out to get you. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 say, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck." This proverb's telling your children that the instruction you give them is better than the presents you give them. That the instruction that you provide them in the word, in faith, the leadership, the spiritual leadership they will receive from you, not from Pastor Chad, but from you, is like if you were giving them a crown and a necklace and all other fancy things that most people could not afford. Okay? Proverbs 22:6 says, "Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." If you set them on the right path, if you provide them the instruction, you give them the knowledge and the how and the why, I believe that children will stay faithful even when they're old. But it's hard. You got to be prepared. My son, Levi, I don't know how this happened, but, you know, he got a little bit of Bible instruction, and all of a sudden, he was fire and brimstone all the time. If you stuck him up here right now, he'd be telling you all the different ways you can go to hell, okay? I didn't tell him that. I don't know where he got that from. I had a chat with a Sunday school teacher. He didn't get it there. But he knows. He knows enough. In fact, after service sometimes in youth, he will go up on stage and start preaching these Old Testament stories that he's learning in Sunday school and telling people that if they don't do like the people in the stories and follow after God, they will go to hell. He's tough, man. He's tough. Now, at church, that's okay. At Walmart checkout line, gets a little bit dicey, you know? But he knows. He knows the word. We talk about it. I don't lecture him. I don't talk down to him. But he knows enough now where he's asking me questions. And sometimes he's asking me questions I'm not prepared to answer. What does the devil look like? Well, buddy, scary. What do angels look like? Also scary. Things I can't explain to a six-year-old in a six-year-old's language. But he'll get there. And hopefully, because he receives the right instruction, and he's smart enough to understand the why and the how, as he grows older, his faith will grow deeper, his roots will run deep. So when those thorns of the world rise up to try to choke him out, his roots will be too deep. That's my prayer for my son and my daughters. Two of which are over there, right? Super cute. Just a little sermon break right there. All right. Also, if you haven't decided what connect group to go to, my twins will be at mine. So if you like babies, you should come hang out with me. Just saying. Just saying. Shameless plug. Shameless plug. I'm not as good looking as Pastor Phil, so I have to, you know, use my babies to make up for it. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Do not exasperate your children. Anybody ever seen like just a kid get like super fed up? My kid, okay? My kid gets super fed up. He hates to be told no. He wants to do what he wants to do. He wants to make his choices, even if they get him hurt. And it's hard not to get to the point where you just raise your voice to get out of the conversation, right? But that's not what the Bible tells us to do. The Bible tells us, do not exasperate your children. Do not drive them to the point of frustration. To provide loving instruction. To provide instruction that's going to build them up, to teach them, to make them wise, hopefully make them smart, to make them kind and generous, teach them empathy. These are all qualities that are lacking in our nation. Qualities that can be taught at a young age, but have to be taught. They do not come naturally. The Bible tells us the fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. If you need a way to remember that, we have a song in Kids Church. We have to teach those things. They have to be developed. They have to grow like fruit. That's why they're called the fruit of the Spirit. I can't recite all the sins of the flesh, but basically a lot of them are don't be mean. Don't sow dissension. Don't get into fights, discord. Don't practice witchcraft. You know, those things. Instruct your children. Instruct the youth. Instruct them from when they're little babies. Give them wholesome entertainment. Okay? Give them things that are good and edifying to watch. I'm not saying that Rugrats are bad. Okay? If your kid's turning out like Angelica, maybe pull back a little bit. But make sure that they're watching some things that point them back to Jesus. Watching things that point them back to the Lord. Put the Lord at the center of your household. And I'm going to say something that might be a little bit controversial. A little bit controversial here. Pastor Phil just winced a little bit. Okay? I'm talking to fathers now. Fathers now. Statistically speaking, if I can save the father, if I can get the father saved, the rest of the family will follow. God has called you to be the spiritual leader in your home and of your family. Women, I'm not discounting what you do. You are called to nurture. You're called to also lead and to instruct. You're called to be an example for your sons and daughters of dignity and respect. But fathers, your duty is to lead your spouse and your children in the way of the Lord. The Bible tells us, and the data tells us, it's true. It's funny when you do, you know, data tests on scripture, scripture's always right. If I can save the father, if I can get the father invested in God, if I can get the father to give his life away, to sacrifice himself for the Lord, his children and his wife and many times his extended family will follow. Why did God make it that way? I don't know. I don't know the why. But I don't know the how. But I know that's true. It says, fathers, do not exasperate your children, to instruct them. It calls you guys out specifically as men. For far too long, America has propagated this idea that the mother is the one that is supposed to bring the children up in church. And the father is supposed to take the back seat and only step in for the discipline. I know where it came from. It's been around for hundreds of years in this nation. You can track it through our people's history. This idea of this compassionate, nurturing mother, this unattainable ideal that we put on women to raise up children in the way they should go. And expected the man to focus on bringing home the bacon. I'm not saying men shouldn't be providers because we should be. I'm not saying you shouldn't work because you should. But what I'm saying is your responsibility does not end when you walk through your front door. In fact, your most important role in life is not the job title you hold. It's not the car you drive, how big of a house you can buy your children, whether or not you can afford to send them to college. It's whether or not you lead them in the way of the Lord. Here's the deal. You know what my favorite book in the Bible is? You'll never guess. There's 66 of them. You'd probably guess all 66. Ecclesiastes. It's so depressing, right? It's my favorite. Solomon is basically pouting. He's lived like 100 years. He's got riches beyond measure. He's the wisest and richest and, you know, most powerful person to have ever lived in all time. And he spends his old age mad at himself. He says, there's the time for anything under the sun. And I wasted it all. Because at the end of the day, it's all just dust. It's all just dust. Solomon takes like 100 years to gain an eternal perspective of life. An eternal perspective. Because the reality is, like I was just saying before, it doesn't matter what car you drive or how much money you make or what your job title is or how big your office is or whether or not your kids are number one on the football team or the pitcher on the baseball team or score more goals on the soccer team than anybody else. Because the reality is there will be plenty of time for that when we get to heaven. You have all the time in the world when you get there. But you have a very short amount of time to do the work of God on earth. You have a very short amount of time to help God mold your children. A very short amount of time to be a parent and a leader here. Solomon wasted his youth. And Solomon's children, well, it showed. Israel falls away from the Lord rapidly after Solomon's death. All his wisdom, all his glory, all his fame, all his riches dispersed. Israel broken into. Israel invaded. Its people exiled. Why? Because they failed to continue to follow the commandments. They abandoned their relationship with the Lord. It doesn't matter how good of a life you provide your children if at the end of it, they go to hell. Because that's the stark reality of what our life is. It's a short period of time where God wants to love you. He wants to know you. He wants to lead you. But you have to choose. You have to make a choice. I once told a Bible study in college that salvation's like a coupon. One free pass to heaven for anybody. But you have to go use that coupon before your expiration date. Because once you die, it's not good anymore. You have to make that choice before you're called to the next life. Or as my son would say, you're going to go to hell. And as a parent, I cannot imagine anything more painful than to go to heaven and not be able to spend eternity with my children and my grandchildren. Lord, I hope I get some someday. I can't imagine anything that would put a damper on the glory and the joy of heaven than missing the people who aren't there. To be in a heaven that is absent of the people that we love. You know, the Bible, this is another Dr. Nunnally article. The Bible talks about, you know, Jesus is going to prepare a place for us and that there are many mansions in heaven, right? And a lot of times our American McMansion ideology likes to imagine that we're all going to live in these palatial estates, right? We're all going to live in these beautiful plantation-style houses that just go on and on forever, and everybody's going to have, like, a swimming pool filled with Jell-O, okay? But the words that Jesus used to describe what he's building are more common, is a building more common to the area, where there's rooms built around a courtyard, where people live in a community together, and that we're going to live in a community with God forever. It's not a mansion for each one of you. It's a place with many rooms for each one of you. A place where each of you belong in his house. A place where each of you belong with the people who love you, with the God who loves you. A place that's like the best family reunion ever. For those of you who don't like your families, I'm sorry. Forever. I think it's like, you know, dorms in college. Super fun, but also nicer. But we have to believe to get there. We have to walk with the Lord to get there. You have to sacrifice yourself. And I believe that if we give our children the right instruction, if we ourselves receive the right instruction, that we'll walk that walk. We'll run that race. And we'll get there together. I want to have Noble Assembly cookouts every day. I want to continue to beat the youth at volleyball every day for all eternity. But the Bible is clear. The Bible's clear, okay? For those of you who have spent the last 38 minutes wondering why I'm being so serious about teaching your children to follow a religion, I would tell you it's not about religion. When I was a kid, they told us, not a religion, it's the relationship. I don't know how right that is either. But it's about being with God. It's about the fact that we've all done things that have pushed God away. It's about the ever-growing gulf between us and God's glory. That every time we break those commandments, every lie we tell, every time we look at something we're not supposed to, every time we are mean to somebody, every time we sin, we're taking a step back from God. And a step back from God. And a step back from God. And we're holding him back at arm's length like we're social distancing because somehow God caught COVID. But only God can take the step forward to us. Only God can bridge the gulf between us and him. And he did that 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross. And he took our sins onto himself. He said, I will take them onto myself. I will make them like they were me. So that it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you said. It doesn't matter who you hurt. You can still come back to me. That's what Jesus says to you on the cross. You can still come back to me. And even though you can't get there, I'll come to you and I'll take you. The Bible tells us that Jesus is coming back to take us. He's coming back to take us to heaven. That might happen in my lifetime. It might happen in your lifetime. It might happen in your children's lifetime. But we have to choose to be taken. We have to choose. You have to accept that Jesus did die on the cross for you. You have to accept that he is your Lord and Savior. You have to believe that the work on the cross provided for your salvation, and you have to confess that you've sinned, that you've done wrong, like all man has, so you can walk into salvation. That's how you get saved. It's ABC. Super simple. Some people do the Romans walk. I do ABC. I'm not smart enough to do all 10 steps of the Roman walk. If that's you today, if you'd like to say, Pastor Chad, I know you got brought up from the minor leagues today, but I'd like to give my life to Jesus. I'd like to walk with a God who wants to save me. If that's you today, can you just put your hand in the air so I know that we can pray for you? If you're saying today, Pastor Chad, I've agreed to walk with Jesus, but I've been trying to go my own way. I've been trying to follow my own path, but I'd like to come back to him. I'd like to come back and let Jesus take me and forgive me. If that's you today, can you just put a hand up? Either one of those. That's good. I see that hand. And finally, the last thing I'm going to pray for today is if you're a parent or grandparent or an aunt or an uncle or maybe even just a kid who's like, I actually have to listen to my parents today, and you want to make a new commitment to studying God's word and making it central to your life, can you just put a hand up for me today? Say, that's me. I want to do that. That's good. I see all kinds of hands. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this service that we get to be together. Thank you for providing all these people who want to seek out your word. Lord, I love you. I give you all the glory and the praise. Lord, I pray that you'd forgive me of everything that I've done against you. Lord, I pray that you would forgive me of my sins, that you would welcome me back into your arms. Lord, I believe that you died on the cross for me, and I accept that you're my Lord. And Lord, after I walk out of here today, I'm going to make a new commitment to instruct my children in the word of the Lord, to bring them up in the way they should go, so that when we all get to heaven, our children can be there with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you want to come down here and pray at the altar, if you want to pray for support or strength or healing, we're going to give a couple minutes for that. If you want to pray for anything, there's going to be a little bit of time, and then Pastor Phil's going to come up and lead us in communion.
You've been challenged to not only to strengthen your faith, to make sure that your faith spills over into the lives of your kids and your grandkids. It's interesting, Pastor Chad, because part of what I was going to speak about was talking about being filled with Jesus so much. I'll even give you my points today. Jesus intended that we would be filled, that we would be spilled, that's what you talked about today, and that we would be healed. I believe that when God, when we really allow Jesus into our lives, that he gives us those three promises, that he'll fill us, and that he'll fill us so much that we'll spill over into others, and that he'll fill us up so much that the things that worry us, the things that burden us, that try to fill our lives, that we'll be filled up so much that we'll be healed as they're pushed out of us because we have so much of him inside of us. I'm going to ask the ushers to come. We're going to receive communion, and this is the way we're going to end service today. I'm going to read you a passage. I'm going to pray over the communion, and then you can come down any one of the aisles. The worship team's going to sing, and you'll just take there's a cup with the bread all in one there, and prepackaged type of stuff. And so it says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, it says, while they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and then when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. And then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood, which was poured out for your sins. How many of you are thankful that the Lord died for our sins? Amen. Lord, we thank you this morning for the message of your gospel. We thank you, Lord, that we have been encouraged to fill ourselves up more with your truth and allow it to spill out upon on the next generation, whether it be our kids or our grandkids. And Lord, I pray right now that you would bless this communion. Thank you for the sacrifice, Lord, of your body and the spilling of your blood, that we may have life and have it more abundantly. That not just in this moment, that we may have eternal life for all of eternity. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come receive communion as the worship team sings?
Shed his blood.
the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory.
Can we stand up? Can we stand up? Let's sing that one more time. We're going to sing that one more time. Would you stand up and let's just sing that together as we conclude this service today. Go ahead.
Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. Blood of Jesus washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory.
What a sacrifice that saved our lives. It is our victory. I can't even imagine. I wish I would have been there to see the devil's face when that stone rolled away and Jesus stepped out of the tomb. And in that moment when Satan thought he had won and Jesus claimed the victory, I wish I'd have been there to see Satan's face. And you know what? I'm declaring that and claiming that for your life. I'm declaring that if you're in the moment right now and you're feeling like right now you're in that moment where it feels like death. It feels like you're in the tomb. It feels like things aren't going your way. It feels like the enemy has defeated you. I'm declaring for you and I'm claiming for you that moment. And I'm going to be there to celebrate you when the devil sees, when we're going to see the devil's face, when that stone's going to roll away and Jesus' victory is seen in your life. And I'm just going to challenge you today. Amen. 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 And so, Lord, I pray right now for every person in this place. I pray, Lord, that the victory of Jesus be on their life. I pray right now for victory to be in every situation. For the scripture says that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So the devil may think he's won, but he already is lost because the tomb has rolled open and it's empty. The stone rolled away, the tomb is empty, and the victory's already been claimed. And so victory in Jesus, we declare for every person in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful Labor Day weekend. Spend some time with your family. We'll see you on Wednesday night. Be blessed. Check out.
There's got to be more than going back and forth.